When Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like Sweet Tarts Twisted Rainbow Ropes, Gummies Fruity Splits, and Chewy Fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine. Visit SweetTartsCandy.com to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. Everything is more exhilarating when you're on your motorcycle. Just like your bike is more protected when you choose Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. They offer coverage for your bike starting as low as $75 per year. And they keep things affordable with discounts like paid in full, multi-policy, and responsible driver. So raise your kickstands and get to quoting at Progressive.com to see if you can save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. $75 premium is for state minimum coverage. Not available in D.C. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. I'm in here with my boy Kid Leroy. How you feeling?
What's up, mate?
Doing great.
I'm doing great.
Yeah, man. I feel like it's been a wild experience over the course of the past, I guess, year. Definitely. I met you in Australia about a year ago.
Yeah, it was maybe a little over a year. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Probably about a year ago.
Talk to me about where you were at in your life at that point.
Well, a lot of things have changed in a year. I was figuring everything out, I guess, just making music, just posting songs. I was still living in Australia. I just moved to LA.
I remember
being an Australian kid.
Yeah, like people were showing me you and like just saying like, yo, this kid's dope and stuff. And you had like maybe two videos on YouTube that maybe had like 100,000-200,000 views. And we were excited about it enough that we were like, yes, let's go hang out with him. Let's go see what his neighborhood's like and everything. But it's pretty crazy because I think at that time, like you hadn't even been having, had you been having conversations with Juice's team or Bibby or whatever?
No. Okay. I had been having conversations with them. We had already linked up and we were figuring stuff out. But it wasn't official or anything yet. But yeah, we was talking for sure.
That's crazy. Talk to them about like how you came up in the scene in the first place, so like what your childhood was like, how you got interested in music. I want to cover some of that shit.
I mean, I guess it really started just by my mom playing a lot of, you know, music just around the house. I just picked it up.
And a lot of hip-hop? Or
yeah, a lot of hip-hop. Tupac, but also a lot of R&B and soul and stuff like that. Erykah Badu, Fugees. Oh, wow. A lot of stuff like that, even like Kanye, Lil Wayne. So I guess I picked it up and I just like what they was talking about, and I liked the way that they I don't know, were expressing themselves, I guess. And I really took that, you know, with whatever I was going through, with whatever I was feeling, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna make this type of music because this is what I guess feel like I could connect to.
But was it discouraging trying to be an Australian rapper? Like, was it definitely the kind of thing where you already know, like, we haven't necessarily had that many people break out of this scene?
For sure, especially when the Australian rap at the time of me being like, what, like 7 or 8 or 9, when I wanted to be a rapper, like my dream was to be a rapper in America. Australian rap was very like frowned upon, no one really was into rap music like that in Australia. And if they were, it definitely wasn't from Australians, like, you know what I'm saying? And this is before rap really became like pop. So it wasn't really, you know, no one really liked it.
Right.
As much as they do now. And
I mean, was it more like most of the rap that was going on in Australia was more like street type shit? Because I feel like there's always like there's like a drill scene. Wow. What's going on? Wow. G-Money is in the building too. That's very rare.
Yeah,
G Money walking like he just poured up. No, I'm just kidding. So okay, yeah, because I feel like that's always kind of the way it is that there'll be like a sort of like hardcore like gangster drill scene in a lot of cities that then over time like artists break out of and stuff. Was that most of the Australian rap you knew about
at
the time?
I feel like that's really just started happening now, which is like a big thing for the Australian scene. You know, shout out to 1-4. They're really the people who paved that way. But I'm talking about back when it was like people rapping about barbecues and shit like that. Like, like it was like really, like, I hate to say it, but it was really corny. It was really like trash. And I, like, growing up, I super, super hated that type of rap. Like, I fucking, like I hated it, and I was like the biggest against it. So all I would listen to was American stuff and stuff coming out of America, because that was what was good to me. I hated Australian rap, and like rap in Australia just wasn't accepted back then as much as it is now.
Like I haven't heard, you know, like. So a lot of people, like, you know, people from L.A., it's, like, very easy for people to understand what the ghettos or the hoods are like in L.A. Like, Australia definitely has areas that are sketchy.
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people aren't necessarily prone to giving it that credit. Like, people just assume that it must be a super nice place. It is a super nice place for the most part.
Australia is a super nice place, but it's just, like, this is how I would explain, like, our ghettos or our hoods or whatever you want to call it. It's, like, it's a lot of... poverty and a lot of like broken homes and stuff like that, and you know, Australia, I would compare Australia more towards the UK than America. Australia, like, you know, it's just the way it is. It's not there's not a lot of like gun violence and stuff like that, but
they got rid of all the guns.
Yeah
when we were in your hood, somebody made a joke about a gun, and then somebody told us that it would cost like 25 grand if you wanted to get a gun.
That's completely untrue.
You don't believe that?
No, that's not. That's definitely.
Because they basically were like, it's so expensive to get a gun out here that motherfuckers just don't have guns.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm getting one next time I go back.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, okay. One dude, we were talking to this dude just randomly at the beach. I forget who it was. He might have been a lifeguard or some shit. We were talking to this dude, and he told us like that Australia, just in general, is known for having very high moral character. Like, he was like, you can leave your bike outside, and realistically, it's like, it's going to take a while before somebody steals it. It's a good place in terms of, like, the people generally just seem to be pretty good to each other.
It really just depends, once again, on where you are or, like, your luck.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it really just depends. Like, I know if you leave a bike around in the city.
In Waterloo. Like, Waterloo, that shit's gone.
Even in the city, like if you leave a bike open, like somebody's gonna take
right.
It, but like, it's just there's so many people. So of course,
bike's a perfect thing to steal too, because it's its own getaway car. You know, you're moving slow, you're walking down the street, you grab a bike, you steal a bike, you're going fast as fuck. But okay, so tell us about that day that we went to Waterloo, that infamous vlog, and like, is that's the actual area that you're from, that you grew up your whole life?
Not my whole life. I was born there. I was born in Sydney, and then when I was maybe like 7 or 8, I moved out to like a small country town.
Okay.
Where I lived for like 4 years, and then I did like a year of like boarding school in South Australia. Really, it was like 6-7 months of boarding school, and then I moved back there, and I was there for like three or four years or something like that. But that's really the place that I always identify as home the most, because it was like I was moving around a lot before all of that, and I feel like that's where I really started to find myself and become like a young adult and really start to, you know, just find myself a little more and become more in my skin and stuff like that. So I always say that's my home, and that's, you know, where I'm from.
Right. So, how'd your parents feel about you being so interested in the music side of things?
My mom's always been super supportive. You know, she's always been support. Like, I remember, like, nights where I would tell her, yeah, I want to sign to Young Money. Like, this is when I was super influenced by, like, Lil Wayne and Drake was, like, coming up or whatever. So I was like, I want to sign Young Money. And, like, my mom would, you know, help me. Like, we'd stay up trying to find the number to call Young Money. Like, you know, like just funny
shit. See, you were smart, because you just reminded me that when I first met you, that you had definitely, like, you had, like, a picture with YG just chilling backstage with YG at his show. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, this is a smart kid. Like, YG comes to play in Australia, and he just sort of figures out how to get backstage and just say what up.
Yeah, that's what we were doing. Shout out to Han.
Shout out to Bompton.
Back there. But yeah, that's really what we was doing. Every time a celebrity would come in town, I would always be trying to fucking find out a way to play my music or get in the studio. Like, I remember Ray Sherman.
Right.
When they came, I was waiting out the front of the hotel trying to find a way in, and then eventually, like, a girl we knew was invited to one of the homies' hotels, and then we ended up going through like that because she cut on the music and the room was like, these guys are from Australia, they're downstairs. And there was just some funny shit. Like, yeah, we'd do like shit like that every
Sending
time.
Sending a girl as a mole up into the rapper's hotel room to play your music is the most fire shit I ever heard. If I was fucking with a chick and then she was just like, check out this dude that raps from around here, I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, no, 100%. Smart, though. But it works.
Because
so.
You were just like getting your shit out in front of people at an early age without having to necessarily be weird about it or like, you know, because like responding to people's tweets and commenting your fucking SoundCloud link on people's shit, it's like that.
Yeah.
It's tough to make that
work. Yeah. I never, you know what's crazy? I don't think I ever really did that. I did do it on like, I would send people DMs like, check this out, like, or like this picture or da da da. But, I'd never go into like people's comments and be like, I'm a da 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 rapper from da da da. I'd just like, I don't know. I just never did that.
I mean,
I was more like when people came, I was like trying to really get in front of them.
Doing some solid real life marketing or networking and stuff is definitely has way more value in my opinion than like just being some weirdo online, like spamming everybody with your messages and about your music.
I think so too. And that's at least what I thought back then as well anyway, like because... Who the fuck, like, it's like a 1 in a million chance that anything might come out of that.
Mm.
But there's, shit, 1,000 chance that you could meet a rapper and get a collab or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
So, I mean, dudes are really just fucked up in the crib eating mac and cheese, and they just, they don't got $20 for a bus ticket to go show somebody their music, never mind, you know, that DM is the only thing they could think to do.
Yeah, like, walking... Taking public transport, we never used to pay to take the bus or the train. We used to jump the gates. So money is definitely not an excuse for hustling.
That's real. I do. I know people who sneak into festivals all the fucking time. I could barely get into festivals and I'm like on the list.
We used to do that too.
Right.
Yep.
You show up, like, even when you're on the list, even when you're working for the festival, it can be hard to get backstage. And I know people who sneak in backstage, like, every Rolling Loud.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't do that at Rolling Loud, actually. Okay, but so you started recording on your own and stuff? Like, how did you actually start the process of making music?
Well, when I was, like, young, I always used to take my mom's, like iPhone 3 or whatever the fuck it was and just place it and just find YouTube beats and just rap over them, post them on Facebook. And, you know, and then eventually one day when I was like 12, I posted a video and this guy locally in Sydney was like, oh, I have a studio. Come through. Like, you know, you can use it for free whenever you want. Like, you know, we got producers here, da 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 da. And I guess because they were trying to start like a collective or like a, you know, like just grow the scene in general in Australia. Because like I mentioned, there was no... real scene in Australia, like no one was like, there was a lot of people who I guess probably wanted to rap but was too scared or didn't, so I guess there was just a group of people who wanted to build. And
if there's gonna be a scene, you have to have like a bunch of artists who are at least a little bit popping so that you can have, you know, good local shows and shit like that. And that's always what's hardest for a scene to even get to that point where there's like enough talent for like the fans to want to go to local shows and shit, you know?
For sure.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
100%.
For sure. So, okay, so you start, you link up with these dudes and then you start sort of recording and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like the engineer would just record me and it was, I mean, he wasn't even a proper engineer. He was just like a guy who just was like learning how to record.
Uh-huh.
So I'd go through and just pick beats, YouTube beats, just go on them and just make songs and then I would just post them to SoundCloud. And the guy... ended up becoming, I guess, like kind of like a manager or whatever. So we're just working on, we're just posting it and seeing what it would do. Then I entered like a radio competition. It was for like a radio in Australia. It was called Triple J. And I entered like a high school competition. It was like you just send in your music and I guess it's like a, I don't know, it's just like a competition. And then I got into, like, the top five. So they called me, and it was, like, a radio thing, like, oh, you're in the top five. Like, and I was just like, oh, everyone, go follow my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then I only had like 300 followers or 400 followers at the time. So then I got like 3,000 extra followers and I was like, oh yes, this is fucking sick.
Right.
So then I guess I just kept posting to SoundCloud and just, it was cool. Like it wasn't really popping or nothing like that, but it was like, you know, people in Sydney, I guess, started to know about it. And then from there, I remember G Money. Shout out to G Money.
So they started talking to you before you even really were, because like when I met you, you had like 100,000 on a couple, maybe 200,000 on a couple different videos, but you were already kind of talking to the team.
We were talking like just like I remember he sent me a DM and was like, "Yo, you're fire," and we're just going back and forth, just on calls and stuff like that. But we never really was like getting serious like that until. Really after I met you in Australia, like shortly after that, and flew me out to America. It was my first time being in America.
Yeah.
So they flew me out to America and then shit, I was just like, this is home.
Yeah. So you come to America and even as an Australian, that was your reaction is like, I just feel like I belong here.
In terms of musically, for sure. Yeah. There's nothing, I mean, nothing really going on in Australia in terms of opportunities to do what I'm doing now at all. And I think anyone would tell you that. Anyone would be dumb to tell you different.
Were you nervous, though, making that move out there? Because it's kind of like you're talking to people online. They're saying that they want to help you with certain stuff, but you don't necessarily know if you're going to come out to America and if shit's really going to start happening or if you're just going to...
Yeah, but it was like at that point, that was better than anything that I was doing. Right. It seemed like a better opportunity to anything that I was already doing.
Mm.
So it was like, why would I be so stupid as to miss out on that when who knows, I could, like nothing could ever happen. Like nothing could ever happen still, but how would you know if you never try or if you never take a crack at it, you know what I'm saying?
So, definitely. Well, I did want to ask though, because I remember we were filming the vlog with you and I think somebody put something on Snapchat because like a shitload of local Australian rappers like pulled up to the skate park when we were filming that video. Have you sort of like felt as if you get like a certain amount of hate from the sort of local people or the people who have been rapping longer than you in terms of like, because you know, you are coming out with like a much more melodic style than a lot of people who probably rap from Australia and stuff. Do you feel like you get blowback from that?
For sure. Especially at the start. I mean, there's a lot of people that probably still don't fuck with me, but at least they try to fuck with me because, you know, like it's, you know, I guess stuff's working so far, thank God. But yeah, definitely at the start, a lot of people, man, who the fuck is this kid? Like, the fuck, mumble rapping, auto-tune, da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, I mean, that's just how really Australia is, though. Why the fuck is he rapping in an American accent? You're from Australia.
Do you feel like you rap in an American accent?
I just rap however it comes. I just make music. I don't think about anything too much. Like, I just do it how it comes out. Like, music for me is a very different, you know, it's a very, spiritual or, like, no, that's the wrong word, not spiritual. It's a very, like, just off the top process. Like I don't think about anything. I just think about how I feel and however it comes out, it comes out. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think about, oh, I gotta rap in this accent or oh, I gotta say this to please this person. It's just however the fuck I feel, that's how it's gonna come out.
I mean, yeah, because you're definitely nowhere near the offender that Iggy was when she came out rapping like T.I. That was sort of like a weird moment for Australia, right? Like, why does this girl sound like she's from Atlanta?
I mean, shit.
You don't gotta admit it.
It's whatever. I mean, I don't really remember much about, like, to be honest with you, shout out to Iggy, but I didn't really know she was from Australia when
really?
I first heard her. Until,
when you were real young, too.
Yeah, I was super young, though, so that's probably what it was until, like, I saw her interview, and I was like, oh. And to be honest, me, even though, like, yeah, I guess a lot of people would be like, oh, that's weird. It was just kind of like, oh, she's from Australia, and she's... You know, it's cool. But yeah, I feel like a lot of people in Australia don't really claim her like that, but you know, it's like, fuck, do you at the end of the day. She doesn't need, you know.
It's easy for people to forget that she was like, people were treating her like she was the next Nicki Minaj when she first came out. Like she had a lot of hype and then it was just sort of like a few weird Twitter arguments and like little beefs and shit, and then people kind of soured on her. But I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you, I still think that she's definitely still got a career.
I mean, yeah, I don't really, to be honest with you, I don't really know much about her to really speak on her or the situation or whatever. But yeah, she's cool. I fuck with everyone. I give good vibes and positivity out to everyone, so I fuck with her. So
shout out to the whole Playboi Carti family. So you come to America, do you like meet Juice right away, or like what was that experience like? You went to the house right away?
Well, actually it started in Australia. It was really through, so like Pete, my manager's now, they were coming out to Australia, Pete. And they put me on the tour. Yeah, so they put me on the tour, I was opening act, and I guess we was just like chilling, all of us, because, you know, as I said, you know, we was trying to, they were trying to sign me, and we were trying to, you know, become part of the family. So we was just chilling, doing the shows, and just, I guess, getting a feel for everyone, not just Juice, but like Pete, and seeing if, you know, how I like him, if I fuck with him enough to, you know, like come over to America and
it was good vibes from the beginning in terms of how you got along with everybody.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I liked him. I thought they was just good peoples.
Right.
Yeah.
Was Juice somebody in particular that you look at from like a, you know, because he's like melody wise, he was like God level rapper, like just unbelievable level of creativity. And I look at like the kind of stuff that you make, and I definitely see similar thing that you definitely were probably a huge fan of his stuff and everything. Is that,
for sure.
Did you get influenced once you started hanging out around him and shit?
I mean, I just liked Juice's music before I even met him. I was a fan, so that was kind of like, that was really another reason why I really, you know, was fucking with them so hard, because I just loved Juice and what he was doing, so I was like, you know, I wanted to be like that, in that position. So, yeah, but I mean, definitely I learned a lot of stuff being around him and his process and how he records and moves and that type of stuff. So, yeah, I definitely did learn a lot. Good things.
Do you similar, you know, though, now? You go in the studio, like, fucking make 10 songs in a night and shit? Do you do
that? Nah, I'm going to be real. I don't make 10 songs in a night. I just do whatever, really. Some nights I'll go in the studio and I won't really make anything. I'll try to make something, but sometimes it just doesn't always come out. Like, because as I was saying, music to me, like making music is just, I really got to feel it, and I got to like fuck with it to complete it. So a lot of times I might start something and be like, damn, this feels forced. Like, I don't, you know, like pull up another beat. And if it's, some nights it just doesn't work at all. Sometimes it's just like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I'm just not feeling it.
Like, most rappers would probably be making a mistake if they tried to record the way that Juice did. You know, like, most people can't just explode on every single beat like that. You know, that's not for everybody. You see rappers all the time trying to be that dude who freestyles and punches in, and it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
He was like the one, or not the one, but he was definitely a dude that could pull it off, you know?
No, 100. He was the GOAT, the best at that shit.
Did it influence your creative process at all in terms of not writing stuff down or being able to sort of do the mumble thing or the freestyle thing to like piece a track together?
Yeah, I would say like once I saw Juice record in Sydney the first time, I would say I definitely went back and was like, okay, I want to try this, and that's how I record now.
Really?
I don't do it how he does it, but you know, the way, like, just off the top and punching in, for sure. That definitely influenced me. And the other thing that I took away was really getting in touch with your emotions when making a song. That's one thing that I feel like he did perfectly, which I definitely, you know, took that on board and try and do that with my music now, too.
I mean, he would just say a lot of, like, really deeply human shit. Like, it just... shock you by saying something that was like really personal, really lets you in on how he actually felt about shit. And a lot of rappers, you rarely get that, and with him you would just get it almost like shockingly consistently.
No, 100%,
definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you remember where you were when you found out about what happened to him? I mean, I think everybody had this same sort of terrible morning where they just found out.
You know, like, I guess I don't want to say too much. I don't really want to, you know, this is going to make me a little emotional. So, but I will say there's a documentary coming out very soon that'll explain everything.
Wow.
let everybody know what's happening. But yeah, I think let's just move on from that. Yeah.
No, I hear that. So was it in any way, though, was it hard for you to sort of focus on putting music out in the wake of that? Because, like, obviously you have all these moves lined up, all these songs you're doing, videos that you're about to drop and stuff, probably before that happened, that tragedy happened. Like, was it hard for you to sort of put yourself in the right frame of mind to be able to just go to work?
I mean, yeah, always. But, you know, I guess shit, at the end of the day, like, that is what it is now. And like I said, that was my big brother. So I know, you know, he wouldn't want us to slow down or stop. And but for sure, though, it was definitely like 2 weeks. I was just, you know, very like thinking about shit, and we just put everything on pause and just because like shit, that was a big thing for not just us, but for the whole world. So,
yeah,
definitely. But yeah, it was shit. You just, it's a tragedy, really. You just gotta keep moving and, you know, keep his legacy alive, and I believe his music will be around forever, so.
Oh, that's a fact, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's just, I mean, it was so, like, so much fucked up shit has happened over the past few months in terms of losing people and shit, but that one in particular just, I don't know. So it almost feels like people haven't had time to really accept it or whatever. Like, people only had him in their lives for, what, like a year? And it just feels like something just cut so short with that.
Right. Yeah.
For sure. Okay. So moving past tragic events and everything, I see you're repping Lyrical Lemonade hard. The first couple videos dropped on that platform. Was that always part of the plan, or was that like a dream even going into?
A 1,000,000,000%.
Yeah.
Yeah. For like 2 or 3 years or whatever, that was literally my goal for like the last 2 or 3 years, was just, I want to get a video with Cole, want to get a video with Cole. So I remember when like Lil Skies reached out to me and we like made a song and he posted it on his Instagram and Cole Bennett liked the video, and then Cole Bennett followed me.
He like one of the first people that was like a bigger artist he did a song with, was Skies?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, 100%. But yeah, and then I remember Cole followed me. I messaged him. I was like, yo, da 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 da. Cause I was like, that's, cause I don't know, especially in Australia, I mean, anywhere in the world, but especially in Australia, you like, if I get a Cole Bennett video, I'm out. Like, that's like how,
well, even just being the first Australian dude to have one.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's like, crazy. Just,
even
yeah,
if that was the only thing that ever happened in your career, that would be a huge big deal.
No, 100%. You know, yeah,
for the country.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause that's, yeah, so. But it took time, though. It took like a year of just getting to know everyone and Cole, and just figuring out what the song was that we wanted to go with. Like, it took like a good year and a half or something before we really was like, yeah, this is the one we want to shoot.
Right.
And then we shot it, and then I guess, yeah, it's doing decent.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, America's number one motorcycle insurer. Everything is more exhilarating when you're on your motorcycle, just like your bike is more protected when you choose Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. They offer coverage for your bike starting as low as $75 per year, and they keep things affordable with discounts like paid in full, multi-policy, and responsible driver. So raise your kickstands and get to quoting at Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. $75 premium is for state minimum coverage. Not available in D.C. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
No, I mean, the new one's going crazy as fuck.
Oh, yeah, the new one, yeah.
The one with Tekka is really ridiculous.
Yeah, shout out to Tekka.
How'd you meet Tekka?
Shout out to Cole and everyone at the Lyrical Family.
How'd you meet Tekka, and how'd that song come together? You guys sound, like, really, really good.
Well, funny enough, when I first came out to America, when I went to New York for the first time, when they flew me out.
You went to Long Island? Took a pilgrimage to Lil Tekka's house?
No, but however, we went to his studio. He had like small studio in like Manhattan or Times Square or something. I don't really know, but we went there, and he had like maybe like 80,000-90,000 followers, and we just went there and vibed down. We made a song, not that song that we put out, but we made a song, and we just, I guess, you know, vibing, and we just pretty much introduced through George and Bibby, and I mean, they knew him. I don't know how they knew him, but all I know is that I was introduced from them. And, yeah, we made a song. We was vibing. We just kept in touch, I guess, from there. And then I remember Ransom dropped. That shit went crazy. And then, shit, we got back in, made another song. We were like, we like this song.
And that's the one that ended up coming out?
Yeah, the Diva one. We were like, fuck it, let's put it out.
Was it a challenge for you to go back and forth on that verse with him?
Nah, it's, I mean, me and Tekka is pretty like, it's, we're like easy to work together, I guess. It's really
right.
good chemistry and you know, everything is super organic with us. So we're just in the boot, in the same studio, mind you, that we were in like a year ago. So we're in the booth and I just had the idea. I was like, all right, I think we should go back and forth on this one.
Mm.
So we would like, he was like, sit down for two lines. He'd get up, I'd go sit down for two lines.
But you were both in the booth together?
Yeah, in like this small ass fucking booth, like probably like this fucking big.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a fun story.
I'm super glad that is becoming more common, that people are just doing verses together more often. Because it's so fun. And people like avoided it like crazy for all the like. There's always been rappers who did it over the years, and it was popular, but it never really became that much of a thing. And I feel like right now it's sort of starting to catch more momentum.
Yeah. No. Shit. I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because a lot of people just like get famous or their career starts, and they don't necessarily like know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting seeing like your career in its early stages, but it's like you've had people like Juice and Tekka that you can kind of look at who, I mean, they don't seem like they've changed much, you know.
No,
like dudes who
not.
Were very consistent, like stayed very down to earth and humble even though they blew up and got rich.
No, 100%. And that's the only people I like to surround myself with is just, you know, good people and good vibes. And that's definitely for sure, definitely.
That's Tekka,
yeah, just a great dude. That's my friend. So
yeah,
great dude, great guy, great heart. Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing. You got like celebrity girlfriends and shit yet?
No.
That was a
nah.
I'm dating a TikTok star.
nah, definitely.
No, not yet.
Definitely not. No, not yet.
We'll get there.
Yeah, eventually.
For sure. So what have you been like focused on for the most part? Are you in the studio every night? Like what have you been up to lately?
Yeah. Shit, I just got a little setup in my house now, so I'm just recording shit, trying to record every day. Right now I'm on tour with Lil TJ.
Oh wow.
We're actually about to do a show tonight.
Where's that at?
I think it's called the Nova.
Oh yeah. Nova's good.
So yeah, I got a show tonight with him. I've been on that for like the past week or two, like not like 2 weeks.
How's that going though? Is it that's not your first time like playing in front of pretty good sized crowds like that?
No, I did do the Juice tours.
Are you getting more and more comfortable with being in front of that big audience and shit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not gonna lie though, like I still get super nervous.
Nah, that's normal. I know rappers who are big that still get super
fucking
like
nervous
every time
before
yeah.
a show, because it's just I don't know. I just get nervous.
No, you got it.
Especially when like you know because I'm not at a level where everyone knows who I am, so like if you know you really got to put in the extra mile and try and make it.
But does
know?
It feel crazy that you have a couple songs that they really do know now?
Yeah, I mean for sure.
Because like compared to like even just a couple of months ago when they didn't know your shit as well, it must be kind of wild doing the shows and like really getting a better and better response every time.
Oh no, 100%. And seeing even if it's like five kids in a crowd of like 1,000 that know every single word, that just makes me like. Because the fact that they didn't, because I wasn't announced on the tour, it sold out before I was even
okay.
in. So
wow.
The fact that they just know my shit without me, like there's uneven, you know, they're not even here for me. That's a great feeling because it's like, oh, wow, we must be doing something right.
Yeah,
I guess.
No, that's facts. Well, Lil TJ though, how's he on tour?
Yeah, he's a great,
he's
great
a cool
dude.
Guy. Yeah,
yeah, that's my boy.
That's
great
what's
guy.
Up. You guys, do you think you'll ever make music with him?
Yeah.
So you have yet, or you're just working on it?
Yeah, we got some shit already. Yeah, it's fire. I love it.
Damn, I gotta hear that.
Yeah, for sure.
So, in terms of like your output, are you thinking about doing a tape, or are you thinking about an album, or are you just more focused on just dropping visuals?
I got an EP in the works that might come out in like the next month or two, or whatever. And yeah, just more videos, more songs, just building on everything, and just hoping everything. Goes well, God willing, man.
Yeah. Have you been to Australia in the past few months, or you just been straight LA for a while?
The last time I went, I believe, was in like November or December.
Uh-huh.
It was cool. Like, it's weird it's always weird going back to Australia after you've been in America.
Right.
And living in America, because everything is so much more slower paced, and I don't know, it's just it's really nice actually to go back and just be like, and just experience more, like, you know, around friends and family and just, you know, chill for a minute. But after like 2 weeks, I was like, all right, I'm ready to go back.
Does it freak you out? You like go back and all of a sudden, like, somebody that you haven't seen in 6 months is just treating you differently?
Yeah, but I feel like I'm, you know, I'm just happy guy. Like, I'm just a cool dude. So I don't really be like, fuck you. Like, you was da 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 da. You were. I'm just like, okay. Like, I always know in the back of my mind, like, I know what it is, but I never, you know, I always treat people with respect and you know, just be happy and whatever. But at the end of the day, like, yeah, I know in the back of my head what it is. But then what's the point? Like, you just gotta, shit, just gotta, shit, create the energy that you want for yourself. You gotta create that and make sure you're around people who create that energy with you.
That's facts.
Yeah.
Kid Leroy. Are you going to keep the kid for life?
I don't know. I got to think about that.
Because, you know, like, young Jeezy at a certain point just becomes Jeezy.
Yeah, I definitely got to think about that.
Like, Leroy is a pretty good name on its own, though.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice name.
I like the kid, though.
Yeah, I like the kid, too. I like, yeah, it's cool.
Makes sense. All right. Kid Leroy, appreciate you, man.
Sure, thank you, bro.
Thanks for coming through. It was nice seeing you again. Sure. I love that Nothing More, Nothing Less, Cuzzy is going to be...
Nothing More, Nothing Less, Cuzzy.
That's going to be a small part of the Kid Leroy...
Forever.
You know, yeah, like, nothing, every time you talk about it...
Nothing More, Nothing Less, Cuzzy.
That'll be, you know, when you're winning Grammys down the road and stuff, that'll still just be this tiny little footnote, you know?
Yeah, Nothing More, Nothing... that's what I'm going to say if I ever win a Grammy. Nothing More, Nothing Less, Cuzzy.
If you win a Grammy and you don't do that, then I want all my friends to relentlessly attack you on the internet, because you got to do it now.
I'm going
to
do it.
Fuck.
I'll do it.
Hell yeah. Kid Leroy, No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Check us on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes. Like, comment, subscribe. The new Kendamas, which are not up here. He's got one in his hand. The yellow joint. These are in stores now. Well, not in stores so much as our store, nojumper.com. Appreciate y'all. Love. Bang.